You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
It's over. The longest weekend in the history of wrestling is finally over.
I don't have to shoot myself.
You know, it's funny. There's a point you reach when you go, okay, I've watched so much wrestling, I don't want to watch anymore. And then you cross past that and you go, I've watched so much wrestling that I think I'd go into shock if I stopped watching matches now. And that was WrestleMania weekend 2017. Hi, I'm Richard.
I'm Gene.
And we are Thumbtacks and Screwjobs. Welcome back to the OneOfUs.net network's dedicated wrestling podcast. We're so glad you joined us as always. Thanks as always for listening in. Don't forget, you can become a subscriber to One of Us. That really helps keep all shows like this, Digital Noise, Rage Select, everything else on the air. But we do it for the love. We really do. We also, so, free stuff. Do you know, if you want to send us free stuff, then you are more than welcome to. We are not going to stop any of you. We will make sure you know how to do that later on. But yeah, free stuff.
Except totally cool with that. Don't spend your money on Roman Reigns merchandise.
Ever. Oh, ever. We will be talking about Mr. Reigns very soon. But yeah, so we've just come out of WrestleMania weekend, which now has become, it's weird. You know, you watch it on the network or on pay-per-view, or you get Ring of Honor show, you get Supercard of Honor, right? And you go, oh yeah, there's a lot. There were 32 shows
over
in
the course,
Orlando.
Between Wednesday night and Tuesday night SmackDown.
It's insane. I think, you know, it's really, you get to the point now where you kind of look at it and go, the number of cities that WWE can go to now to do shows like this are shrinking because it's so massive. The rooms they need are enormous. And they know this. They got to know this kind of this hang-off wrestling culture. You've got WrestleCon. You've got everybody else is in town. They know this is happening. And for a lot of the people they're bringing in for one-shots, Jim Cornette, Jim's not going to come in just for what they want him for.
He's going to do, and same
with Jim Ross. You know, they need all this other stuff around them to make it financially worthwhile, unless the WWE is going to pay them a lot more than they traditionally have. So it's really limiting the number of cities. I think we're going to see them go to a lot of places
again
in very
and again,
fast
again.
Cycle. They're back in New Orleans already for next year.
I could see San Jose happening at the most WrestleMania 36.
Yes.
I see that
San
happening.
Diego.
Exactly.
You know, you're talking about big convention towns now, not big convention towns are not big sports towns.
Chicago hasn't been there, I don't think, ever, but I can see it happening.
It needs to be. There won't probably,
it's just there's a lot of sports also going on during
that time
of year.
Well, and the other problem is that it's not real, unless you really push it as far to the back end of WrestleMania dates as you can. The weather is unreliable,
exactly.
And if you're in a situation where half your wrestlers can't get into O'Hare, you know, you've got a real issue there. So I think Chicago, I think, should be SummerSlam. If they want to start building up SummerSlam,
they sign another deal for another 3 years in Brooklyn, which I could see happening, given those crowds.
No reason why not. It's a good crowd. It's a good event. But yeah, so, I mean, the first thing this weekend was clearly the Hall of Fame, a.k.a. Hell Hath Frozen Over. And the thing about this Hall of Fame, it was a good crowd. It was a good roster to bring in.
They did not hijack the Hall of Fame ceremony for the first time in probably 5 years.
Yeah. You also have, it's a good induction list because we had Rock and Roll Hall of Rock and Roll Express, Beth Phoenix. Beth, I was okay with. I think she
didn't, for me, have a long enough career in the WWE to dictate Hall of Fame so soon.
Yeah, I mean she's.
I mean, I see why it happened with Edge. I mean, he was forced to retire early. But,
well, I mean, Edge. I think anything he'd done after his career would have been, icing on the cake. You know,
exactly.
He'd done everything. he won people over. I mean, people talk about, Shawn Michaels redefining what a champ looks like. I think Edge really did far more than that, because, Shawn was still a muscle guy. Edge was lean.
Very lean.
Long. Very. And it's like, you look at him, and particularly when he was still with Christian, he doesn't look like a guy.
And they weren't going to push him on Raw.
No.
Paul Heyman, running SmackDown at the time, like, I'm going to make this guy the top star.
Yeah.
And did it.
But Beth Phoenix, I think, was... Yeah, I mean, deserved. I mean,
it was deserved. It was a bit soon.
Also, a bit high in the. They're like, oh look, she's one of the big names we were pushing this year. It's like, yeah, she was like,
Isn't Trish Stratus
she's not Trish Stratus. She's not Lita. You know.
Yeah.
She's not when in 15 years time when Sasha Banks goes in. It's not that. She was a solid worker. In a time where, and I think what they're doing
the
is
period,
Edge's wife,
exactly,
is part of it, which I hate to say, but that's the reality of it. But also, you got a certain degree of, she looked good in an era when a lot of people sucked, and there was
the lingerie model era, the mid 2000s,
and really,
and
you've got her and Mickie James
and Natalya, those three,
when Natalya goes in, that's going to be well too.
Yeah,
I think having Natalya do her intro speech was a good
thing. It was fitting. It was fitting.
But I thought, the three best speeches, by far.
Diamond Dallas Page? No? Yes?
DDP was good. It was too long.
Too long? Okay.
It was a bit rambly, and I wish he'd actually said, you guys did actually kind of screw me over when you actually brought me in. I mean, it basically bought his WWE career. But then, his WWE career is worth ignoring, because I've literally never seen a main eventer more mishandled in my life. I think DDP was the guy where at that point everybody went, anybody they haven't created and make them successful.
Exactly. Goldberg was the one people always bring up as far as how WWE mishandled from the WCW main eventers. I think DDP's
far
lack
worse.
Of push was far worse.
Far worse. DDP was a star. DDP was money. And they went, let's turn him heel. Why would you do that? Under what possible circumstance would you turn him heel?
That has been called the people's champion, no offense to The Rock, has ever been more of the people's champion as far as what that phrase is supposed to mean, more so than Diamond Dallas Page.
I think DDP, his speech was really great. It was very touching. He was on, fine form. It was a little rambly. I mean, I was looking at my watch and going, here's the weekend set. This is how this is going
to
go.
I didn't feel it was rambly because I was thinking back to Lita's speech.
Oh, yeah.
And DDP's was very much Cliff Notes' version of a speech compared to hers.
Yeah. But, I mean, for me, the three best ones were Jim Cornette. Bookers of the... I mean, he comes out and says, look, the way this has been built up, this is going to have to be, cross between the Sermon on the Mount, and I can't remember what else, and it's still going to be regarded as a disappointment. But he came out and explained how you book an angle that is so good that 34 years later you still go, that was a great angle. I think any booker needs to go back and listen to that speech and go, that's how you do this.
Can Jim Cornette, can they cut some sort of deal to where he comes back to WWE and only oversees the tag divisions on Raw and SmackDown?
Oh, my God.
Only, that's it. He has nothing to do with anything else, just the tag divisions.
How in the world are we at the situation now where the WWE this week, let Simon Gotch go? And you look at it and go, that's probably the best thing for Simon Gotch's career at this point. Simon Gotch was simple money on the table. So true. I mean, he must be driving Cornette mad.
I don't understand.
But, I thought Cornette's speech was fantastic, because it was like, he came out, he was Jim Cornette, but he was Jim Cornette not going out there and being pointlessly mean.
Yeah.
He was Jim Cornette going out there and doing his job, which was putting over the Rock and Roll Express and making the best case in the world for the Midnight Express being in there as well.
Exactly.
I suspect the Midnight Express will be in a couple
within
of years.
The next few years, yeah.
Kurt Angle's speech, which was phenomenal.
Agreed.
And the reason Kurt's speech worked was for the other really great speech, which was John Cena. Because people, I know people have bitched and said, well, you know, Angle came out and he talked about character and he talked about this and he didn't talk enough about his own physical, you know, abilities in the ring. That's because John Cena had come out and go, hey, remember that guy that you remember in the cowboy hat? He was the toughest son of a bitch this sport has ever seen. He was a
machine.
Prodigy. He came in and he picked it up faster than anybody else has. And to, you know, I think that those two speeches counterbalance each other. Because sometimes you hear, and that was part of the problem with the Rock and Roll Express's speech, is that a lot of what they said, we just heard from Jim better 10 yeah. minutes earlier. Cena and Angle came out and they counterbalanced each other so perfectly. I do think Cena was the right person.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, he really put him over. I just wish, because so many of the people he had great matches in with TNA, Angle at least talked about TNA. But he didn't even talk about the people who fought in TNA. He didn't talk about Samoa Joe.
Which was the highest pay-per-view buy rate in TNA history.
Well, that's because it was phenomenal. Again, if you want to work out how to book an angle...
Treat it like a real sport.
Yeah.
Treat it like a real sport. No goofy angles, no comedy crap. Treat it like a real sport and watch the people buy the pay-per-view.
Didn't mention AJ either. And again, those two guys went you know, they had wars. Exactly. In a company that didn't know how to do anything, they shone. So, oh, right. But I think those were my high points. I mean, what did you really get from them?
I 100% agree with you. DDP's, I felt, was touching.
Jake the Snake tried to hold the shit together.
Yeah, it struck a chord. I think when they showed Jake the Snake, almost had... I had to fight the tears. But overall, I enjoyed it. The crowd, I was concerned with as soon as it started. I was like, oh, dear God, this crowd is going to go nuts. They kept their composure. Yeah. They weren't the Raw after Mania crowd.
And it also has my favorite gif of the of wrestling in forever, when Sami Zayn just pops his head. You know, when they cut to Roman Reigns, and he's just getting... and he's trying to look super cool, like, I don't mind, you know, as long as you buy my merch. And Sami Zayn just pops his head up behind his head and just goes, they're laughing at Roman, and sticks his head back. And it is just, it's so perfect, because it just shows how much of a bubble Roman Reigns is. And
it's through no fault of Roman Reigns. I just want to make that clear. I don't think any of the backlash is his fault in particular.
Oh, no. But I mean, you know, there does come a point where you've got the mic out there. Do it yourself. If you're Vince's chosen one, go out there and take a couple of risks, because you know you can. But he's... we'll get there. he's just that...
But then we start getting to that territory of that Stone Cold Dean Ambrose podcast of, it's easy to say when you worked in an era where you were allowed to get away with A, B, and C. Now we're micromanaged and can only do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, but, you know, I think the Hall of Fame... this was the first Hall of Fame in years I've actually watched while it was live in one sitting.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I'm actually enjoying this.
It didn't...
And it was long.
A few of them were long. It was long, but it didn't feel like mind-numbingly long as it has. The one from, what was it, 2 years ago with Lita's induction?
Oh, God, that never stopped.
Good God.
I think she's still delivering a speech.
That was like one of those Jerry Lewis telethons where it's on for like 4 hours, you turn it back on, and it's like the same segment.
There's... word and rumor that they're going to be cutting the length of it and having fewer inductees, and I think that's a good idea. Not least because they're kind of running
people out. Get lost in the shuffle.
Well, you know, at the point where Coco Beware is in the Hall of Fame, you've got to go, come on.
You need to drop
drop the list and raise the criteria. But, you know, night two...
NXT TakeOver.
Oh my God. Yet again.
It was good. I'll preface this by saying I don't hate NXT, and there seems to be a social media backlash against me anytime I say anything bad about it. I like NXT, but ever since the brand split last year, I won't say the roster was raided, but over the course of 12 months, all your top or 90% of your top stars are on Raw and SmackDown being mishandled by that creative. I think more so than that, the writing team and your head of creative of NXT going up to SmackDown, it shows in the product. NXT over the course of late 2016, early 2017 is not the same show that watched faithfully week in and week out.
I think you're absolutely spot on. I think part of the problem is they've got a lot of really good people.
And they don't know what to do with them.
Yeah, they don't know what to do
with them. Ty Dillinger, at one point, I thought he was going to be going back and forth for the title. He became just another guy. La Sombra, you heard Andrade Cien Almas. He feels like just another guy.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Well, I mean, they did so much damage to him when they introduced him as a face.
Yeah.
But I think the thing with NXT is there's still so much potential, but they keep doing goofy things like, I don't care about the Drifter.
I don't care about him.
I look at their roster, and I'm like, the only issue is the booking and the angles. And I think the thing is that they've been so caught up in the tag division, which is undergoing a shakeup, and the main event, I don't think they know what to do.
The rest of the roster,
yeah,
correct.
But I look at it and I'm just like, okay. Aleister Black looked great.
Phenomenal. Everything that Baron Corbin was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Because he's first pay-per-view event on NXT and he stole it.
He's legit scary. He is legitimately like, oh, this guy is going to come in with such a different mindset that you're not going to be able to write him into a corner. When he comes up, if they don't stick the IC belt on him within 2 months, or pretty much on his debut, I think that would be a huge, huge mistake. But, you've got people like him.
Roderick Strong's kind of lost in the shuffle right now.
Wasting Roddy.
They're trying to get the crowd.
He's so for the crowd, and they're not hearing it. They're not reading that. That's so stupid.
Well, the thing is, being over with NXT crowd and being over with the main roster crowd is going to be two different things. I think it's going to take some work to get him over with the mainstream audience, which can happen if he's not freaking feuding with Sanity.
Yeah.
They need to build another faction to go against Sanity. That way you don't have a bunch of singles guys having to waste their time in a tag feud because they're trying to protect Sanity.
And use Sanity better. I mean,
it's hard to do when there's no other faction.
That four-way tag looked great.
It did.
It was really good. Really good debut for Ruby Rose. Ruby Rocket?
Ruby. Oh, crap.
Yeah. To the interwebs. Ruby Riot.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. She had a couple of blown spots.
It's formerly Heidi Lovelace. Yeah, but I mean, she's only been up on the roster for an hour? I think it's a show of faith in her that they put her into the opening match on this, and it's pretty much her first. Is it actually her first TV?
I believe so.
Yeah,
I believe.
They got a lot of faith in her, and I think it's well placed. But she botched a couple of things, but then she botched them with Nikki Cross, who again needs a little bit of work. But part of the Nikki Cross's thing is that they're deliberately, she's deliberately supposed to be sloppy.
Yeah,
I think the upside on both of them is phenomenal. I think Ty looked great. I really wish they'd get rid of that weird quasi gladiatorial skirt thing.
Oh yeah, then he comes out to the ring and
it's just like no, that just looks weird now. I think. It's weird. The matches in NXT are so good, but how you get there, and I think we'll talk when we talk about WrestleMania, we will really talk about how you get there. I think how you get there is so problematic. It's like just suddenly all of a sudden, Cassius Ohno. Which the only reason they did was because they wanted to do KO shirts.
Yeah.
And then they bring Kevin Steen up. We called him Kevin Owens because they really wanted a KO, and now they've got two KOs. No, and I'm sorry, just make him Chris Hero. We all know it's Chris Hero.
I don't understand.
We're not in the
that.
Era anymore where you have to bring guys up under assumed names. You know, if you've got Roderick Strong and Chris Hero in the ring, you sell him as Roderick Strong and Chris Hero. And I do wonder whether he's going to turn. My suspicion is he'll do a heel turn, and he'll go, this Cassius Ohno stuff is bullshit. I'm Chris Hero, you know it, and I'm out here to kill people. And then you just go straight to an angle with him and Roddy, which would tear the roof. Him and Roddy for the NXT Championship 6 months down the line, given.
I would honestly like Cesaro to go back down to NXT just for that feud.
Mm.
Can you imagine?
Were you like Kings of Wrestling?
Yes.
Hell yeah. I'd be okay with
but
that.
But in a feud?
Yeah.
Oh.
By the way.
That would be great.
I got to see something great a couple of months ago because those of you who've listened to the podcast before know that I ring announce for Inspired Pro Wrestling in Austin. Please come out to our next show, May 28th. It's going to be a good one. I can't tell you what the card is yet, but trust me, we've got a couple of big surprises and some really good matches lined up. But I got to see Tarsus.
Really?
Yeah, Tarsus has turned up twice. He'd come out of quasi-retirement.
Oh,
my God. Talk about big men.
Was that at a recent Inspire?
Yeah. Talk about big men that can move fast. Tarsus is up there.
Man,
him doing a cannonball? That's impressive.
Yes.
That's scary.
In person, I can only imagine.
That is a frightening, frightening thing. I liked the opening match. It wasn't great, but it got the crowd out going, and I still think Sanity still needs work. I think they really need
another faction in NXT to feud a legit faction, not just let's put these three guys together. Oh, let's put these four guys together. No, they need to start a legit faction with people that are likely not going to be main eventers. So no Roddy Strong in there. No. Ty Dillinger doesn't need to be a part of that.
No.
It's like build from the ground up and
make it a logical one. I mean, you know, honestly, I think because they always seem to be afraid of heel versus heel. Andrade heading up a lucha.
That would be nice.
You know, I mean, and then you're in a kind of a Bullet Club versus Suzuki Gun, which is still my dream booking.
That's
for the year.
Still awesome.
But yeah, I think you know it was solid. It was fun. It gave Ty the goodbye because they were clearly going, this guy cannot sit on NXT for much longer. We need to bring him up, but we're not in a position to put the belt on him. Which is the real shame. He should have had the NXT belt at some point in his run. I think
signing Bobby Roode, that pretty much put everyone else in the back of the line.
Yeah. Aleister Black versus Andrade. Good.
Really good match.
I think my problem was they're protecting Andrade, which is absolutely sensible.
Finally.
And therefore don't put him in the ring with Aleister Black in his debut. You know, Aleister should have come up against somebody somebody else on the roster who looks good
that
and
he
is
can,
tough,
but he can dominate.
He can kill in 2 minutes. He needed to kill somebody in 2 minutes, and I think this was an error.
You don't want to show him going back and forth with someone. You want to show him massacring someone.
Yeah, and I think so. That was kind of that was a mistake.
The roster is though kind of thin right now.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's that thin. I still think you could have probably found somebody more suitable for him to go up against, or have
Oney Lorcan maybe.
Nah, he's still.
See, it's getting a weird push right now.
It's very strange because I don't know why they.
It's a push, but not a push.
I don't think he's getting a push. I think he's just getting a lot of wins. Which is, it's like the Undertaker streak. Nobody realized that there was a streak
until it
was like 14-0. And they're like, oh, this is actually a thing. I don't know who you would have put him up against, but if you're going to book this, I think what you have is Andrade come out and go, ooh, you're so scary, ooh, and then get the piss beaten out of him because he'd underestimated it.
Exactly. And then you set up a rematch later on down the road.
The back and forth didn't work for either of them. It didn't help.
They could have set up that rematch for SummerSlam weekend.
Yeah, because that's
Brooklyn.
Is that Brooklyn? Isn't the next one in Chicago?
This is the last one in Brooklyn, though.
No, isn't there a next day takeover in Chicago?
I thought there were only four a year, and on the weekend of the big pay-per-views. Survivor Series, SummerSlam, Rumble, and Mania. Unless they're doing... I could be mistaken, but I thought there were only four takeovers a year.
I think you're right. Actually,
they need to keep it at four per year.
Yeah.
The moment they start doing 6, 8, 12...
It's going to dilute
the entire brand.
And then we had what may well be one of the... It's not going to be match of the year because at the end of the day, nothing is... You know, it's impossible to think anything is going to touch Omega Okada, which still is just so perfect. I watched it again this week. I think I watched like match about 5 times this year. Nobody watches match 5 times in 1 year. It just doesn't happen in this era. But the 3-way tag.
Oh my god!
This was just extraordinary.
Near perfect triple threat tag match, which is hard to pull off.
Finally, made the Authors of Pain look legit and not like they're going to kill somebody by accident, which has been my main complaint about
it. It just looks like in story they're going to kill someone,
they've done the one thing that they needed to do, which was change the Super Collider so you're not powerbombing one guy onto another. Because that's almost, I swear, that's almost killed people at least twice.
There were some jobbers they went up against about 4 or 5 months ago, and that was the match where I'm totally against banning moves, but that one was very close.
They need to that needed to evolve undoubtedly, and I think they changed it so now it's like slam into them and then powerbomb them on opposite sides of the ring.
Exactly.
But everything else about this match was just amazing.
I only have one issue. I don't think they should have eliminated DIY first. The moment they got eliminated, the crowd kind of deflated.
Yeah.
It was like, aww.
Yeah, which is... I think that was... Because I think the moment that DIY got eliminated, I think everybody knew that AOP were going over. Mm-hmm. And at that point, and AOP are, you know, they're getting better. I think they are leaps and bounds above what they were 6 months ago.
I think Paul Ellering needs to cut more promos.
Yeah. Undoubtedly.
For having someone like him as their manager and him not getting that much time on the microphone.
Well, and they so botched when they introduced them anyway. It's like two big guys, and then you're going to the NXT audience, which is mostly 20s and 30s, who don't know who Paul Ellering was when they first introed them. Now people go, oh, yeah, no, I know who Paul Ellering is. That's fine. They've had time to do the research when they introduced them. And so they're still kind of build. They bought them in and dug a hole for them, and they've dug themselves out of that hole, and now they look like a legitimate threat.
Yeah.
You know, now the question is, who do you put up against them?
Yeah. Once they go up to the main roster, I feel that maybe they can be what the Ascension were supposed to be.
Oh, yeah, well, we'll get onto what they've done to the Ascension as well. cards on the table. Let's do this now. The tag divisions on Raw and SmackDown should be amazing. I have no idea how they are this bad.
Both shows. It's not just Raw. It's not just SmackDown. Both shows are failing when it comes to the tag divisions.
I mean, The Raw tag division, I think, is better. It's also a lot better if you only watch pay-per-views. If you try and watch what they're doing plot-wise with it, it's a disaster area. But, you know, I think they're still churning something good out. And, you know, they just keep throwing all of the SmackDown tag... It's basically that had exactly the same matches with the SmackDown tag division, which is basically, let's just put everybody in the ring at the same time,
and yes,
something will happen,
I think,
and no one's going to get over.
Exactly.
And in fact, people are getting less over.
They're getting under. They're getting under. Raw, I think, doesn't have enough tag teams.
No.
Raw, which is the 3-hour show, you would expect them to have a deeper bench. They have, what, 4 tag teams?
Yeah.
SmackDown has 6 or 7... And yet, it seems like we're watching the same matches.
Well, I would have put the Vaudevillains on there. I would have put the Vaudevillains
on Raw.
Them as the sneaky, conniving. You know what they were? Well, what they should have been. They should have been the new early Edge and Christian, the post-Brood Edge and Christian, who are the sneaky, wily little guys who aren't supposed to win.
And they keep racking up wins.
Edge and Christian, I remember watching the first TLC, match, and Edge and Christian were not the guys who were going to win. And when they won, the room just went, what the hell?
Exactly.
Because you're up against the Hardys and the Dudleys. And I could have booked, you put the Vaudevillains in, as the guys who were like, these guys aren't supposed to win. And you just have them cheat and cheat and cheat and cheat and weaken everybody to the position where the Whirling Dervish just kills you. And you could have booked an event where, the Whirling Dervish comes in and just,
The Whirling Dervish could have been a pay-per-view finisher. They could have got so many roll-up victory rolls and stuff like that. Save the Whirling Dervish for pay-per-views.
Because it looks great. And yes. They botched that. I'm just so mad about Simon Gotch. I'm just so mad about
it.
But let's get back to
Gotch, all the problems that have been building with him over the past year and a half. The confrontation with Jericho, the confrontation with Sin Cara. It Sin Cara or Kalisto?
Sin Cara.
It was Sin Cara. And Sin Cara, the rumored confrontation with his own tag partner 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was too much. I don't think WWE wanted the headache anymore. Yeah.
But I think we're also now... Yeah, but this match...
back to NXT.
On NXT was so good. The revival going up, I think, is the best thing that can happen.
They needed to. And Raw needed... a strong workhorse tag team. They were it.
And now everybody knows who Dash is and who Dawson is. That makes life a lot easier. And they've developed their characters. They're so good on the mic. Their promos are some of the best. I think that's the interesting thing. I think now they've
improved so much on the mic.
A promo team who can go on the mic as well as the New Day. Agreed. That was the weird thing. New Day hosting WrestleMania. I don't understand that. I think that was a huge mistake.
But I was fine with it because they kept the segments short and painless.
Yeah, but you're most over tag team and you have them come out and do some mic work at the beginning.
They got paid and didn't have to take a single bump. I cannot hate on them for that.
Yeah, and plus, Kofi is probably working out what he's going to do for, what he's going to do for Royal Rumble next year. He's like, oh God, what stupid spot am I going to do?
What's the next match? Was it the women's match?
Yeah.
Asuka.
Oh, my God.
This was a match I was looking forward to. This was a match that I described it a few weeks ago, and everyone thought I was out of my mind. And I believe Tuesday or Wednesday, someone hit me up on Twitter and said, you know what? You were absolutely right. The Ember Moon Asuka match resembled that first pay-per-view confrontation between Diamond Dallas Page and Goldberg.
Yeah.
You had the unstoppable monster against the up-and-coming fan favorite who has a finishing move that no one, not a single person, has kicked out of yet.
Yeah.
That match, Goldberg, that was the first time Goldberg ever walked out of the ring and had to regain his thoughts all right, I need a new plan.
What shocked me was this was not a super long match. It felt longer in all the best ways, but they told
such
a great story. And there is a really good likelihood we are going to see Ember Moon on the main roster very, very soon, that they're keeping Asuka down for a little bit longer.
Okay, I was thinking that they're going to keep the feud going, maybe add a third person in. I could see Asuka going up after SummerSlam, night after SummerSlam, and then Ember Moon winning championship, and maybe Asuka keep going double duty NXT up until Survivor Series.
Maybe.
And then being full-time.
Maybe, but I've heard that it's more likely Ember Moon's going to be coming up sooner rather than later.
I think that may be a mistake. Asuka does not have a lot of legit competition down there.
I think you could bring other people in to make it, with them doing the... they've announced that they're going to be doing a women's
tournament,
and I think you're going to bring a lot. Okay. I think they'll bring a lot of people
That's true.
Thing is, Asuka really only needs to perform four times a year because she's so good.
Pretty much,
But I think, she'll come up eventually. But I've heard that Ember's going to come up sooner because I think Ember, particularly with you now, you've got both Bellas out of contention. you need a little bit more on SmackDown, and having her come out and go, I'm going to legitimately kill all of you, I think is a good idea.
Thought Raw needs that. As, who do they have? Sasha Bailey, Charlotte Nia.
Yeah.
Dana Brooke rarely gets matches. You have four women on the 3-hour show. You have six or seven women on the 2-hour show.
But if you do, what you, I think what you do is you move some talent across from, well, I mean, they're clearly going to, my suspicion is that Sasha Banks is going to go over to SmackDown. And you put her into a feud.
I was thinking heel turn.
Oh yeah. Oh no, she's got it.
I've heard a rumor of Charlotte maybe going just to freshen things up on Raw, because I mean, she is the best heel probably in the entire roster for the better part of 6 months, but it's starting to get to early 2000s Triple H mode where her promos are drone on, and she has the same type of match no matter who her opponent is. It's feeling like Triple H over again.
She has never done it for me.
Really? I used to love her until about the last 3-4 months.
I don't know. She's one of these... She's one of these people who is... okay. She's better than Randy Orton because she actually put some effort in. I think Randy Orton is the laziest fucking wrestler on the planet. I hate him for that. So she's not... That's not the problem. She goes out. She's really talented. She cuts a great promo. I don't know. She just never... It just never works for me. I don't know why. But we're getting off. But I think, you know, if you bring Ember Moon and put her on Raw in that kind of spot, that really is going to... I think that's part of the other problem is now we're on how, you know, 3 years of the Sasha...
The Women's Revolution.
Charlotte, Bailey dynamic. You know, if you... And that's long enough. You've got to bring something in to freshen that up. And I think you... You've got
to
have...
One of them needs to go to SmackDown.
One of them needs to go to SmackDown.
Because Becky Lynch is kind of on an island. There's good talent there.
Well, you can only have her go up against Mickie James so many times.
Exactly.
By the way, what the hell was Mickie James... Why was Mickie James... I'm trying to work out whether Mickie James' outfit was worse than Becky Lynch's or not, because Becky Lynch just looked like a fraggle.
Was Mickie James paying homage to Tatanka, or was that a pop shot at Dalton Castle?
No, because I think Charlotte's was a pop shot at Dalton Castle.
I
actually did tweet at him. Dalton wore it better. And what was hilarious was that the boys actually tweeted at Charlotte and went, "Oh, well, if you want us to come to the ring with you next year." So the boys were clearly taking a pot shot at her for ripping off Dalton Castle's outfit. And I thought that was a beautiful moment
that
of social
is awesome.
Media. But yeah, I Asuka versus Ember Moon, you know, it's not even a heel turn with Asuka. It's basically going like she's unstoppable and is getting cocky with it. Who's the person that takes her down? Who do you build up?
I think creative is trying, and the crowd's just not have. They're not having it. They're still going to cheer.
That's why. But the thing is, you know, there are people who you can. You know, people cheered Jake the Snake because there's a certain point where you're
so good at this job.
Like, you just want to see it.
Yeah.
And I think Asuka's in that. And this was a barnstorm of a match. And having like Asuka, you know, having to bend the rules to win, I think was beautiful plotting.
And now we get to our main event.
I only have one problem with this. I think it's too long.
I agree.
I think this should have been 28 minutes, not half an hour. 20 minutes, not half an hour. I agree.
And as much as I love... We're talking about Bobby Roode versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the NXT title.
The Shinsuke's farewell to NXT, which is timely.
Exactly. I'm a huge fan of Bobby Roode, but... He's kind of stuck in 1980s heel mode where you not every match needs to be a 30 plus minute pick up body part and go to town on it.
But I blame the booking on that. I don't really blame him. Him and Shinsuke did the match that I think they were told going to.
There was a lot of indulgence and NXT
the other thing is if either the opener or Ember versus Asuka had gone a little longer, they wouldn't have needed this to go as long.
Yeah.
And I think that would have... I think that was the only problem with it. I think, you know, it did drag it down a little bit. But I think Bobby Roode does 80s heel so well. But now you've got an opportunity to put him in with some fresh talent. He's really only had...
Nakamura
to go up against. And I think this is the point where you go, all these really great Ring of Honor guys, you know, are gonna be circling around him. And he's going to be the guy who's putting them against each other, because he's a great psychological heel as well. And I think it's great. But this was a solid match. It was funny. I was watching this with my wife, and the instant Shinsuke came out, she went, "Yeah, this is his last NXT match." She was like, "The way he came out, this was his, like, I'm going to give you guys one last show."
Yeah.
And you could tell. So you could tell I'm okay with. Because it was pretty clear they were not going to, you know, if they'd have kept him down for any longer, I think people would start getting frustrated.
Yeah, it's my girlfriend said this, well, something similar. She was like, when is he finally going to get called up to Raw or SmackDown?
Yeah. But all in all, you know, yet again, a really, really great
match.
You know, a great match. A great takeover. Like, they have not had a less than 4-star takeover ever.
This one was... I don't want to say it wasn't 4 stars. For me, I would say 3.75.
Ah, you whiner.
It's it's just not as good as takeovers of maybe the past 2 years. But it's nitpicking. I digress.
And with I think the thing is... I think the lowest match was still 3, which is, you know, the Andrade black match.
Agreed.
But then that's balanced out by the fact you have a 5-star, 30-minute, 3-man tag, which put over all 3 teams, including one who I've had real concerns about. So, you know, when you balance it all out, I think the whole thing comes out at 4.
I think
the lows and the highs
kind of average out. I won't argue if someone gives it a 4. Yeah. I will
definitely
not at all.
4-star. Which then raises the question, if you had to give WrestleMania...
A rating?
Two different questions. If you had to give the last 2 months of...
Build?
Of Build and WrestleMania a rating, what would it be? Compared to if you came into WrestleMania cold and just watched the video packages... What would you give that? Because I think that's those are very, very different.
Those damn good questions. If I came into it cold,
pay me the big money.
If I came into it cold, I could honestly give it a 7.5, possibly even an 8. But knowing the build since, let's say, January 1st,
yeah,
as just arbitrary number, from then all the way up until WrestleMania, I have to give it a 6.
Yeah.
Honestly, hurt a lot of the matches because of the finishes not really jibing with the build.
I honestly, with the build, I could actually knock this down to a 5 as an actual how you build the company and how you build the story.
Oh,
I
gosh.
Think that this had. I think that Fastlane.
Fastlane derailed so much. Whoever booked Fastlane needs to be fired. I don't say things like that. I don't wish things like that. Whoever booked Fastlane needs to not be booking professional wrestling programs.
Horrible.
Period.
Horrible pay-per-view. Yeah,
you want to get into the meat and potatoes of Mania? You want to start with the pre-show? Let's get those three out of the way. First match we have our Cruiserweight Championship, Austin Aries versus Champion Neville. A match that probably should have been on the main show.
Oh, shit.
But I'm glad it wasn't, because any match that would have been on the main show would have likely got cut to pieces.
Yeah.
This got all the time it needed, except I have my issue with it. The sun still being out, and there were obvious spots where the guys were blinded by the sun.
Yeah.
Or sweat in the eyes because of the heat out there.
It was 85.
85. It was 85 toward when the sun was going down. When it was still out, it likely had to be 90.
Yeah.
But the match itself, despite all of that, it could have, if someone said match of the night, I would not argue it.
It was, when you put those two guys together, it's going to be great. Told, at minimum, going to be great.
Told a great story. They didn't milk the injury for the entirety of the match.
Yeah.
Neville went for it in a desperate situation. Went for the orbital socket and then kicked the rope into Aries' face, which further exacerbated the pain. That is how you go for the go for a body part and work it without being self-indulgent, which we'll talk about in a few matches into the game. You know which match I'm talking about.
Oh, God, yeah.
But overall, a good match. Neville retained. I thought that was a bit of a mistake. I think not many babyfaces got a big WrestleMania moment, and I thought Neville dropping the belt to Aries would have been a pretty good Mania moment.
Aries is scarcely a face. I mean, Aries is
he's a tweener.
He's a lovable heel. He's a lovable asshole.
Well, which I think is the thing is, he doesn't rip on the baby faces and stuff. I would call him a tweener more so than I would a lovable heel. But anyway, we get to the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
AKA, you're on the roster. We got to give you something to do. Your mum's flying in for WrestleMania weekend. Oh my God.
This was the match that should have gone to Braun Strowman. And if you mentioned Braun Strowman's name a year ago, I would have said, why is this guy getting pushed? Now, they've done such an effective job throughout 2016 of pushing this guy as a monster, and he legit has gotten better in ring, only to have him get eliminated less than 2 minutes in. And then Big Show, a guy who got into the best shape of his entire freaking career. Eliminated less than 2 minutes
in. Then gets screwed over by Shaq. So screw you, Shaq. And he said this is his last WrestleMania. I think because he knows he's never going to be back in the position that he was. You know, he's got to be hurting. He put all this effort in to drop a huge amount of weight, put on a lot of muscle. He looked great. And it's like, why did they do this? That's got to hurt at a basic level. And, you know, at the end of the day, there is nothing left for Paul White to prove in this industry. He survived WCW. He was the defining monster for a generation. Agreed. You know, what else is there for him to do? Just
won the title multiple times.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, go home. Have a farewell match at SummerSlam. I think SummerSlam is the right place for him to go. Have your farewell match. And then just straight in the Hall of Fame next year. Just don't stop. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Just go straight in. Sign your Legends contract and go straight in the Hall of Fame next year. Because this isn't a guy where you go, oh, we need to give him. No. You need to say, few people have done such sterling work in the history of the industry. And for this to be his last WrestleMania, I think is insulting.
Guys like Big Show, Kane, and Mark Henry have extended contracts so many times for the simple fact they wanted to help.
Yeah. In fact,
get people over.
Here's my Hall of Fame lineup for next year. Here's my three headliners. Straight, and this is all you do for next year. And you basically pay tribute to three of the best monsters. You put Kane, and you put Mark Henry, and you put Show.
Agreed.
And that's your headliners for next year. Maybe one veteran team...
Veteran tag team. And Midnight Express.
Midnight Express in, and I'm not sure who you would have as from the women's division next year, but, you know, somebody from the women's division. I think, honestly,
they've been neglecting some of the luchadors that have done some time in WWE.
Is Bill Nakano in the
And Hall of Fame?
The Hall of Fame.
I'm not sure.
Because it could be time to put Bullet.
Has Ultimo Dragon retired? Or
I don't know. I think so. I could be wrong. But yeah, I think just put those three in and just go, this is a celebration of it. Bring a thematic element and put those three in and go, guys, it's time to stop.
Vince is the one that talks them into it. Mark Henry's wanted to retire for the last 2 years.
Oh, he's gone. He's done. He's which is, you know, kind of funny because, like, 2 years ago, he actually had one of the best runs of his career because with the whole, you know,
Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and the best promo he ever did in his entire career where he just came out and went, my entire life, people have said, Mark, you're too big. you've got to be gentle with everybody else. You've got to look after everybody else. You'll hurt them just by being near them. Fine. If that's what I am, that's what I am. I'm not gonna pull the punches. I'm not gonna be delicate. You have to work around me. That was one of the best promos I've ever seen. And it came from the heart. And that's why it worked. Exactly. But what do they do instead? God bless.
Who are the last four or five people in the ring?
Killian Dane,
Sami Zayn, Jinder fucking Mahal, Mojo fucking Rawley.
Now, okay. This is, I know, where me and the rest of the world disagree. God bless him, I love Mojo Rawley. I think
he's a great tag person.
Oh, great tag.
He's a great tag
team. He
should
not have won this by any stretch.
He won it for fucking political reasons. He won it just so they could get on SportsCenter.
He won it so they could put, so they could put.
I fucking hate WWE for stuff like this.
Yes. Yeah. And the thing is, it's not even like when they had, well, pretty much any time they've done anything like this.
If there was something where... It's not even like... Like the TNA stuff where... what's his name came in? What was the football player that they had? But he couldn't do much of anything in the ring, but they at least had him for a couple months.
Or Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey turning up is legitimate, and putting and looking like she's going to kill Triple H. When she threw Triple H, that's still one of my favorite WrestleMania moments, because you could see a look on his face where he was like, oh shit, she actually is kicking my ass.
But that's with the big stars. It's like, Mojo Rawley is legit a nobody at this point, and you gave him a win that should have gone to either Braun Strowman or Sami Zayn.
Either of the two.
Just so for a one to two,
it was a cheap
one
pop.
To two episodes of SportsCenter, cheap and pop. It's going to be forgotten about by the following weekend, which it already has.
Yeah, well, no, now it's just embarrassing. Well, they're still trying to get another Tyson moment, and they forget that the reason they got the Tyson moment was they actually spent months
of building
that you were actually going to have a Tyson Austin fight, which never materialized because they couldn't work out the money on it.
Exactly.
That was what everybody thought was going to happen, was Tyson was going to have a wrestling match, and now everybody goes, oh, Tyson was the special referee. Yeah, well, you forgot that they were trying to work out a way to get him cleared and pay enough money to get in the ring with Austin, and then they realized, like, that's a really terrible idea.
I threw my bottle of water across the room, and my girlfriend was about to come in, and she turned around and was like, I'll come back later.
Yeah, well,
it was annoying.
And then the worst jobber moment, which is, when you've got how have you turned Dean Ambrose into a pre-show?
Oh God! Okay, Intercontinental Championship match: Baron Corbin versus the champ Dean Ambrose. And I thought this Baron Corbin experiment. Fine, give him the belt. Let's see what he can possibly do with it. No.
Nope.
No. You keep the belt on Dean, who's really doing nothing with it. And legit, this match had the worst build of anything at fucking WrestleMania. The goofiest... every problem that I have with Dean Ambrose was brought out in spades during this feud. The stupid promo where Dean cuts the feed to Corbin's side. Forklift...
They do not know how to book Dean Ambrose.
No, he's wacky. He's supposed to be Brian Pillman, and instead, he's doing Doink the Clown level goofy shit.
You know, and bad, and not even real Doink. You know what? What I would much prefer is if they just bit the bullet, admitted that they got it wrong with Sami Callihan, bring him back, put him in a tag team with Dean, and have them as psychopaths who come in and murder you. Just flat out murder you and don't care. It's not even light cheating, and make them the scariest thing in the SmackDown tag team division. Because watching Sami Callihan up close recently, I'm like, this guy's the best. This guy is just unreal. And how did you botch him as Solomon Crow so bad?
This is an issue I'm having, and this is with all three members of the Shield. I think creative is failing all three of them.
Oh, yeah.
Ever since they broke up, like, okay, let's see what they can do. And Seth Rollins was the worst booked heel of a generation.
The worst booked heel of a generation is Rusev, who was consistently
I'm sorry. No, he wasn't until he hit the Cena ceiling.
Oh no! Even before then, it was like
really.
No, he was defending his wife and then girlfriend. You know.
Oh yeah, he was booked like a babyface.
He's proud of the country. He's proud of where he comes from. Like, he was booked like a total babyface.
Yes, okay, you're right.
He also didn't cheat.
He
also had more times where he was the valiant babyface struggling against in 2-on-1 matches. And it, like, you don't know what a babyface is. You guys have got this so wrong. And also, apparently, if you speak Bulgarian, when he's talking in Bulgarian, he's hilarious. I've heard this repeatedly, that he just makes complete
intros. I've heard Rusev on podcasts. He is freaking hilarious. He needs to get some acting gigs.
He's so good.
He's so good. Lana is so good. That whole act is just amazing.
You saw... what was the archival material they found recently? With Rusev's elder cousin.
No.
Oh... Okay, breaking kayfabe for a moment. If you haven't seen it, go on YouTube. The WWE got sponsored by KFC these adverts for the horrible, like, I think they realized that the adverts implying that you fuck chicken parts was a really bad campaign, and that. If you were listening in your car with your parents then, sorry folks. But you know, now they did, what's it called?
Jeez.
It
escapes me.
But it's like they found these old vintage tapes.
Oh, Southpaw
Regional Wrestling. Which is the funniest thing they've done in years, and proves that John Cena is, at the end of the day, as good as it gets. You know,
Chet Cheddarfield is so
awesome. Cheddarfield. Boys not together, Chet. But Rusev as basically the hillbilly gym character was
brilliant.
Gorgeous.
Brilliant.
Sadly, he was off this show because he's still injured. Yeah. But you know, I just...
Baron Corbin... It's like two steps forward, two steps back. I'll see a few episodes of SmackDown, like, okay, this guy may have it. And then he gets, like, cuts the most boring promo ever.
Is a terrible promo.
He needs a manager.
He needs a manager.
Vince's disdain at managers.
Calling Jim Cornette.
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, this wasn't a blow-off match. This was a nothing match. I think it's one of those things where they go, why you go out and put our best work in when... You know, the fireworks haven't gone off and nobody's sung America the Beautiful yet.
Yeah.
Why bother?
Why bother reviewing this pre-show? Let's get to the
main event.
Main thrust of everything. Yeah. Here we go. WrestleMania 33. AJ Styles, Shane McMahon.
As my wife said, as always with WrestleMania, really good up until about 8 Central. And then there's a sharp drop off.
Okay.
The
match that I really didn't want to see at Mania because I thought AJ deserved way better, especially with Samoa Joe not having a WrestleMania match, Finn Balor being healthy and not having a WrestleMania match, and you put AJ Styles against Shane McMahon, also rather self-indulgent of Shane, but...
Well, yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, you're going to put Shane on the card. I will say this about Shane.
He put in some damn good effort.
I think this was his best match to date. Well, his best match from the point of view of his work to date. Considering he's 47.
If you take the stunts out of most of his other matches, the big over-the-top stunts, the matches probably suck. And this one, you take the stunts out, it was still a decent... AJ has proven he can now carry anyone to a good match.
But also, Shane has finally worked out how to throw a punch. You know, he put in some good submission work.
Agreed.
You know, his chain wrestling still is like... But, you know, the big stuff worked. And, I think the big problem for me was that the commentators were going, oh, no, Shane is ripped under there. He looks like a linebacker. It's like, dude, no.
No. Not
he's,
at all.
He's a 47-year-old guy in really good shape who's put in a lot of work to come out and have the best match that he can, and did some stuff that is like, you know, he knew he could do because he wasn't going to be on TV for another 8 months. You know, fair enough. He did stuff that, you know, people half his age would blanch at doing. I can't, you know, he went out there and had a really, really, really good WrestleMania opening match. I don't think you can ask anything more of that. And I don't think you could even ask that. I mean, he goes out there and I'm like, don't die. Fascinating that yet again, the crowd, even though AJ was being booked as the heel, totally in AJ's corner.
He's too Shane good.
Put AJ over.
He's yeah. too good to stay heel for too long, especially now that he's good on the mic on yeah. top of all of that.
Well, the thing is that they need to make sure that when he goes full face, he's not an idiot vanilla babyface, that he's AJ the smart babyface. I mean, people have been saying for years, where do you get your next Stone Cold? He's your next Stone Cold. He's the guy who's going to face overwhelming odds.
I thought he was going to be the next Shawn Michaels. Whereas, like...
Well, no, because he's got a work ethic.
You're talking about pre-injury Shawn.
Oh.
All right, next matchup. Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho for the United States Championship. A match that was, while good, it was a hard follow-up to the previous match, and the crowd obviously... I felt the deflation of the energy.
I think that was the problem of...
Where you put the AJ match.
You got so... and it was an amazing match. It was long, which I think just, you know... It deserved it. There was a moment where I felt, this is lagging... But then you've got the audience coming down straight off that and going into the next big feud match. And you're like... and yeah, it was too early in the night for a palate cleanser match. But at the same time, it was... I don't know where you would put it otherwise.
I don't know if it was too early. I think it's just... It should not have followed... A long match should not have followed Shane AJ.
Yeah.
Like, maybe this should have been first match of the night. Because it had probably the best build... Of anything.
Oh, yeah, by far.
Since the Festival of Friendship.
However, I will say, I was Team Owens all the way because it's like, you know, Jericho, you know, is a numpty in this. Jericho looks like, you know, a clown in a lot of ways. So I have great difficulty getting behind him when you're up against somebody like Kevin Owens who you go, you are this good. You know how to manipulate everything in an environment where you're not... That's the thing. He's always coming in as a slight underdog, so I'm okay with Kevin Owens being crafty.
Yeah.
For Jericho to have somebody get this much over him, Jericho kind of looked like a bit of a clown. But I'm glad that they did the sensible thing of putting the belt on Owens.
And it was Jericho's not going to be here for much longer. They're probably going to do a blow-off at the next pay-per-view, and then Jericho's going on tour with Fozzy.
Jericho consistently has great matches. You know, he's still one of the best there is out there, and this was a great match. I think it suffered a bit from the deflation from the first match.
Exactly.
I think if you'd have put this on first, it would have, you know, I think AJ
would have had even the same pop.
I think that would have had the same problem because you would have come off from the blood. You know, you could have swapped the order. Whichever one was first, the second one was going to suffer because they were long, great match, and people are going, I've got a long night ahead of me.
Exactly.
Like, overly long. Five. Hours and 10 minutes. No.
Next match up, Raw Women's Championship Fatal 4-Way Elimination, which I didn't know was an elimination match. We have Nia Jax versus Sasha Banks versus Charlotte versus Bayley.
This was the first time where I think, and we got to talk about the setup, that ridiculously absurdly long ramp. And the fact it was so raised
above 80 yards.
Oh my god.
The size, almost the entire size length of a football field.
And this was the first time where it was a problem because it really bit into Bailey's entrance because she feeds off the audience so much. And it worked for the others because they're supposed to be a little bit separate, but it hurt Bailey a little bit. She just looked like a crazy person wearing a kite. But then she came out and she had a great match.
Yeah,
and the booking of it was...
They got rid of Nia Jax early, which was smart. That way, she's going to be good one day.
Yeah.
she's still greener than frog shit right now.
Oh my god. And how is she not getting markedly better?
Braun Strowman got much better. Those squash matches have helped him.
I actually think she
back to NXT.
Go back to NXT for a while and just and you know,
her and Dana Brooke both need to go back for 6 months, maybe.
Yeah. I think Dana. They went. She'll get better if we put her in deep end of the pond. I don't think she's getting better in the deep end of the pond. I think she's improving slightly, but she's not improving in the way they need her to. And I think that's going to hurt her. Send her back down to NXT. Because it didn't hurt Emma when they sent her back to NXT.
All. Not at
did
all.
Did her the world of good.
They needed to send Dolph Ziggler back there, too.
Oh, bless him.
For a good 4 months, maybe. Bring him back. Send him down after SummerSlam. Bring him back up as a Survivor Series surprise, maybe.
Yeah, I think he's... I mean, the fact that he was buried in the Battle Royale.
And
it was the...
It was telling.
The biggest... Ah, God.
It was telling.
They don't know how to deal with him. They should have done what they said they were going to do.
He must have pissed someone off backstage. That's the only thing I can think
of.
Well,
I think they just haven't worked out what to do. But, I mean, there was rumors for a long time what they were going to do was put him into... basically a shoot... A shoot wrestler thing, which was what he was doing for a long time, of having his old varsity sweatshirt on, and I think that would have worked perfectly because he's a legit street wrestler.
Yeah.
This guy has a really strong wrestling background. I think, you know, I know what you do.
I had an idea.
Put him on Raw.
Well,
with Angle and have Angle go. Because now we know that Angle's the new
start the feud with that the same thing that's going on between Miz and Daniel Bryan.
No, don't
set
do that
up. Oh no,
have Angle go. Dude, what are you doing with your life?
Ah.
Be the guy you can be. Have him come in as a stretch wrestler. Have him come in and hurt people. Make him look like a tough heel, which you can do, and he can do that. And, you know not have him do the flip-flop stuff, which is, you know, at the end of the day, that man is going to kill himself.
I had a similar idea, but I was going to... I know American Alpha, we don't want to put the tag teams in singles programs, but if you have him, Ziggler, maybe hurt Chad Gable and hit Ziggler and Jason Jordan into a one-on-one feud, that is how you get that angle you have over, I believe.
Yeah, I've...
But this women's match, oy.
I mean, it was
good, but not... Great. It really should have just been a one-on-one Charlotte Bailey. Bailey should not have won the belt at Fastlane.
No. That's the core mistake. And
she should have won the belt here and broke Charlotte's pay-per-view streak at the same time.
Yeah.
And that would have been a Mania moment. This was a half-ass Mania moment.
Yeah. Mainly because the person they got over most... who, as you said, probably doesn't deserve it, was Nia. Nia comes out of it looking like a monster.
It took all three of them to
team up to beat. And
completely missed that triple dropkick.
Already seen this booking the night before in NXT. So, one or the other. You can't have it. Make your mind up, guys. Please make it.
Here we go. Ladder match that was supposed to be a triple threat between Gallows and Anderson versus Sheamus and Cesaro versus Enzo and Cass.
Okay, big pluses on how they handled what we thought we were going to get. The fact that Cesaro and Sheamus now clearly are on the same page is such a good idea. We've had the 6 months of brawling buddies.
Yeah.
Now we've got them in that, you know, the combination rip away.
That is so badass.
Oh, they just look like monsters. They look so good. And apparently they are actually they're really tight in real life because it's not a click situation of like they're all ganging up on each other, on everybody else and trying to, you know, but the European guys do hang out. And Cesaro, I interviewed him a couple of years ago and he said, yeah, you know, there is kind of us, and, you know, and the other European guys, and we just hang out just because it's slightly different. You know, it's nice to know somebody who knows what's happening in Europe, and you can talk about shared stuff, and it's a different experience. And they, you know, so they are actually tight. They do work together. They've got very complementary styles. The spot where they're doing the Beach Baran and the giant swing
yeah.
on Gallows and Anderson. Although the fact that Anderson is going, do not put my head near that. You know, he's holding his head because he's really terrified he's going to get smacked sideways into the ladder. You can tell he's like, this could kill me. But
surprise entrant into the match.
The Hardys. Not that surprising.
Not the Broken Hardys. Just 1999, 2000, 2001 Hardy Boys.
I don't think we've seen enough to know what exactly they're going to do with them. I think they're...
We're in a holding pattern when it comes to that. I believe the legal issues are still ongoing.
But I think that, you know, you're at a point where they're not the Hardys that left under a cloud. They're so different. This is definitely not, you know, Matt Hardy 2.0.
No.
This is a different Matt Hardy. This is a smarter Matt Hardy. It's funny. The big difference is Matt is now more over than Jeff, and that was never true in his history in WWE.
Well, I don't know.
Jeff now looks...
With that WrestleMania crowd, yes. On Raw, it was the Jeff Hardy show again, because the casual viewers, it's all about Jeff. But well, that's to the diehards,
I think that's where you're going to see
73,000 chanting delete, delete, delete.
So perfect. But them coming in, and the good thing is, it
freshens up your Raw tag division.
You took a match that I was looking forward to and made it into a match I didn't want to leave my seat for.
I was mad because the ladder stipulation didn't get brought in until the go-home show before the pay-per-view.
Which was the real clue that this was... You know, between them dropping the Ring of Honor belts to the Young Bucks the night before, I was like, they're turning up tomorrow. I don't know if it's even just a run-in, but they're turning up tomorrow.
And lo and behold, they are our new Raw Tag Team Champions.
The one downside of this is you've got, you know, the Hardys... one of the smoothest tag teams in the history of the industry. Always better together than apart, apart from the final deletion. You've got Gallows and Anderson, who I think they're finally going, guys, just go there and beat people up. That's what you do, and you do very, very well.
No dumb comedy skits.
Yeah, just let them go. Sheamus and Cesaro on the same page is just phenomenal, because you've got two really big, tough guys, and they'll put the belts on them soon enough, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I think they'll probably be the ones who take the belts off of the Hardys
probably.
In a few months' time, but they'll keep it on them for a while.
Unless they decide to give them to the Shining Stars. Oh.
Yeah, that'll happen. that'll come next week. It really... I don't think anybody looked weaker on the entire show than...
Enzo and Cass?
Enzo and Cass looked...
Their ring work is still not up to par, and the promos, it's like, if you heard one, you've heard them all.
Which is a shame, because I think that's because they're telling Enzo, go out and do the same promo time and time again. Yeah. Because, I don't know, you know, if you force yourself to watch Holy Foley, they actually have Noelle doing a promo class with Enzo.
Oh, dear.
And it would no. It's NXT. It's pre Big Cass.
Oh,
NXT Enzo, okay. When he just comes out and just picks her apart, and she just stands there just blinking, and you're like, oh my god, this guy. You let him go. He is still the best promo that they brought up from NXT.
But
yet.
The problem, they turned him into New Age Outlaws 2.0.
Yeah, but they looked they had Enzo's big boot. Cass's big boot.
Empire Elbow! I'm sorry, Michael Cole screams that damn thing all the time.
Enzo, and that was it. They had nothing else. And you go back and watch that match, and they pull those two moves again and again and again. That we're now in a situation where they bring nothing to the table, and somebody has to reconsider what they're doing with them.
I'm glad, because Enzo is damn ragdolling. He's going to get himself freaking
killed. He's got to stop ragdolling. Like, you almost... I mean,
Sasha finally stopped ragdolling. Now, Enzo, learn from her.
Yeah, stop trying to get
yourself killed. Protect your health.
Stop trying to get yourself killed in the match.
All right, next one up. John Cena, Nikki Bella versus The Miz and Maryse.
Oh, this was...
The match, the build, also one of the best built matches of the pay-per-view. Those skits with Miz and Maryse have been top-notch, except the one the week before the pay-per-view. That one was not really that good, but the prior two... were top notch.
It did end up with the closest we've seen to Doctor of Thugonomics Cena when he went, I'm going to slap the Botox out of your cheeks. And I'm like, that was harsh.
Cena, when he wants to, when they don't have him being Mr. like Make-A-Wish, he can cut a damn good promo. Cena is not that he can't. It's just the leash is on him.
Here's what I disliked about this. It wasn't just the fact that...
The match itself didn't live up to the build.
Well, you can't. You've got The Miz.
Maurice. When's the last time she wrestled?
Wrestled.
Nikki Bella, still Nikki injured?
Nikki Bella, who's straight back out. This was her... I mean, they should have just said... This is probably her retirement match. Just accept this fact, folks.
Yeah.
Because she is done.
Her neck,
yeah, even
dude.
With the alterations they've done to the modified rack attack, so she's not taking all that weight on
It's more like a TKO, right?
C3 and C4. Yeah, clearly she just needs to stop doing this. It's not doing her any good. She's only going to get worse. It's only
they've got worse. Enough money. They've saved enough money. She's an executive producer on Total Bellas.
Yes,
so
Cena.
You
is,
don't need the money.
I mean,
you definitely don't need the money now.
The weird thing about this, the only thing I thought that they should have done that would have made this. I mean, I think they were trying to protect Cena, so they kept it as clean as possible. He looked like he was getting chumped by The Miz. You were never going to make the... No, people. The Miz is never going to be over as a wrestler. He is at his best when you have him in something like the Elimination Chamber this year, where he realizes, like, oh, if I go in the ring with Baron Corbin, I'm going to get my ass kicked. I'm not doing this. He is Weasley. So to have him basically spanking Cena for 20 minutes...
I was kind of okay with it because it was Miz. They were listening to the crowd, and I think they changed up the game plan because of how over Miz was. And they were like, let's not turn this crowd against us. So I think that's why they...
I don't know. I have a problem with them attempting to make Miz look like a legitimate threat to your number one guy when he's not going to be, and you're not going to make him any better. And then when all you're doing is this is the blow off, so you can get them get you know.
So
you
can Cena actually, can
Cena
go back
Bella
to Hollywood.
Can have a double
wedding or double finisher.
And Maurice is never going to be seen in the ring again.
The match didn't live up to the hype.
Well, it wasn't going to.
It never was going to. I don't know. I agree with Miz not dominating on Cena if it weren't for the fact that the last 8 months of SmackDown, Miz has been built up pretty decently.
Yeah.
So
he's a lot better than I was.
I'm okay. I was kind of okay with.
I was really surprised they didn't do anything with Daniel Bryan in this. I was really shocked by that.
I didn't even think about it until you mentioned it just now. But you were right.
The obvious thing to have the fact
the ref knocked out Daniel Bryan come out with a ref shirt.
Well, I think they wanted to get Cena about
it was all about their weddings, yeah,
and do the whole wedding thing. And I think they wanted. But I'm really shocked they didn't find some way to get Daniel Bryan. At least have Daniel
Bryan. I was expecting it. I was expecting the ref to get knocked out and then Daniel Bryan to come out with the referee shirt.
Or Daniel to come out with the ring. Like, that, even that. That, like, just something. Like, a nod to the fact that talking smack exists.
Well, let's move on to this next match, which... Could they have made Seth Rollins look any weaker in this... Well, I'm talking about Seth Rollins versus Triple H, the match that was... This is supposed to be the grudge match. All this build-up, almost a year's worth of build-up, and this is what we got. Triple H having to look like he can never be the cowardly heel. For someone who has Ric Flair as his role model and his lack of self-confidence, he has to look like the top guy, even in fucking video games.
I will also say this. I think it's... He looked old. Trips looked...
It's...
Old.
I don't know. I think... was it Solomonster or possibly... No, it was Brian Alvarez. On his show a few days ago, mentioned that it's like Vince McMahon shortly after the Attitude Era, where it was... young body, old face.
Well, even his body started to. Yeah, I mean, you look at his biceps in particular. They're starting, and it's like, that's just what happens to you when you reach a certain point.
Yeah, he's what, 40 something.
Just accept that you are probably carrying about 30 pounds too much muscle. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I will give him this much. He didn't look blown up.
No, he didn't look blown up at all. He kept going.
His cardio is in phenomenal shape. He's got it, I think.
This match pissed me off for so many reasons. Even down to the entrances. He had to give himself that fucking entrance. And then Seth Rollins, I don't think a lot of people got the outfit. I think they were going for something Jaime Lannister-esque to play up the whole Kingslayer angle. He should have came out on a fucking horse with a sword and shield or something that badass.
Yeah, particularly they gave him a weak entrance compared to...
Because Triple H always has to have the better entrance. Triple H always...
And here's where that W didn't make any sense. If this is a non-sanctioned match, where's all this come from?
Exactly.
Shouldn't it be, if this is a non-sanctioned match, you know how you start this? You don't have any of that. You don't have any of the entrance. You just have... them brawl down the ring. Brawl down the ramp. And you've got an 80-yard brawl, and you even have a couple of spots where they get thrown off the side. Something, anything, anything at all. The complete antithesis of what they did here, which is like, if this isn't sanctioned, then who is... Don't even.
Why was it an unsanctioned match? Why was it?
Or at least have the unsanctioned thing mean something.
Exactly.
Why is Triple H being followed by police?
Stipulation.
None of this entrance makes any sense.
Don't... It's like TNA... like late 2000s to early 2010s match where we add a stip just for the sake of adding a stip.
How is it not a blindfold match? I mean,
God.
It's that bad and stupid.
Vince Russo put this thing together.
I mean, the match itself wasn't bad when you...
It was so self-indulgent.
But no.
Match pissed me off on so many levels.
Yes, it did everything that Triple H has done wrong.
Triple H fights the same fucking match no matter who his opponent is for 20 fucking years.
But, taking that into account...
he doesn't listen to the crowd. He doesn't make any adjustments.
Nope.
And unfortunately, Seth Rollins does the exact same thing where he has... Instead of telling the story of his injured knee, he's going to go out and do the same stunt he does in every match and then clutch the knee. Gonna go do a tope, clutch the knee. Gonna do a plancha, clutch the knee. Why do you not learn from the first three moves that you did and almost injure your knee? And you're gonna keep going to those?
He
needs a better ground game.
He needs somebody to come in and go. Well, I think that's the thing. You know, his angles have been with Trips for a while, and Trips is going to book a certain kind of match, and he's going to want him to stay on that script. And I can't blame Seth. For that, because
no, anyone in a Triple H match, you can't blame them.
But as you know, 21st century Triple H matches go, all right. It wasn't horrible.
It was one of the best ones. Way too long.
Oh, it was far too long.
10 minutes easily.
I will say this: by comparison to Trips versus Sting, this was glorious. This was just wonderful. And that's the thing. Like the fact that he went out and went, I'm actually going to do a decent match that is going to...
And do the fucking job.
Did the job.
Unlike what he should have did with Sting.
Did the job clean. Did the job clean, which I think...
I about the 15-minute mark, I honestly thought, this motherfucker is going to go over.
Yeah. So at least we got that. I mean, that's the thing. You take into account that...
anger.
No, it's perfectly reasonable. I think the thing is, you're angry because you know that this...
I know Triple H.
...shouldn't happen.
Yes.
And I'm like, it's going to happen. And taking that into account, how it's going to happen, this was the best iteration of this match
we could have. Yeah, this is the best we could have gotten. I think I was so pissed at this match, I completely was nowhere near as pissed as everyone else was for the next match. This is the WWE Championship match between Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt.
Oh my God.
Was not as pissed watching this match the first time. I left the room for a little bit. I had to go cool down because the Triple H match pissed me. And I'm sorry, Triple H used to be one of my favorite wrestlers. But I'm seeing right through him. I see through him now completely.
Yet
this next match, Holy
nothing.
Shit.
Nothing.
Nothing could have prepared me for this. I watched it again and watched the match in its entirety. Are you fucking kidding me? Who allowed whoever put this match together to be employed the next night?
I'm going to say this. Mad as everybody is at the fact we are in year 3 of the Roman Reigns experiment, the fact that we are in, what, year 12, 13 of the Randy Orton experiment? And I will say this outright, he has never delivered. He is a mid carder who they are trying to convince us is one of the greatest of all times.
Because he has a look, and because all the old school wrestling minds love him because he doesn't do much.
Oh,
because the 1980s mentality of do as very little in the ring as possible and protect your body. But even at the cost of not having good matches.
He blew his shoulder out, banging on the bat one time. This guy is not in great shape. He's slow. He has
slow as molasses.
And this is the thing. You can be as mad as you want about Roman Reigns. I think Roman,
it's out of his control. It's out of his control. Randy has enough pull backstage.
Everything Randy does... everything that looks bad about Randy is his fault.
Is his fault.
Absolutely his fault. He has never gone out and turned in... You know, when he was tagging with The Miz... The Miz looked like the better worker. This guy is not good. He's boring. He's slow. He's arrogant. He's unimpressive. There is nothing that makes me think Randy Orton deserves to be in the spot that he's in. And this match reinforced that what they've done yet again is buried Bray Wyatt. They have no clue how to take a guy who... I got a bit of an argument with somebody where they were saying, like, the only person who looks like legitimately could kill you in a match these days is Brock Lesnar. And I went, no. Bray Wyatt can, you know, he has the best high-impact moves of anybody around. When Bray comes flying across the ring and hits somebody and they crumple and he gets up, and I think that's part of the problem.
I was a big...
Bray... is a guy who slows other people down, which is why he always needs to be in with somebody faster. When you put him in against somebody who's even slower, and he's trying to speed Randy Orton up?
Holy crap, this is the problem. Bray, I think the promos are weighing him down, and it's not because he's delivering shitty promos, it's because they're long-winded, they're scripted.
They picked back up again recently. They were just becoming incoherent nonsense. But they picked back up again.
The supernatural elements that were added to him. I liked him when he was just the freaking cult leader, like when he first in NXT and when he first debuted on the main roster. Once they tried to make him the new Undertaker, adding all this supernatural gobbledygook to him, I just wasn't feeling him as much anymore. But this match could have been better.
Oh, yeah.
It could have been way better.
Endlessly.
I think my only issue as far as Bray is concerned... I think he needs to inflict pain in his matches. No stunt-type moves. He needs to take... Like, he needs to be the pick-a-body-part-completely-apart person. Yeah. Like, just, he's all about your pain and suffering. If he wins the match, it's a bonus.
Yeah. Oh, he needed to win the match.
He needed to go over and...
Orton did not need to win this match. And honestly, I'm angry about the fact... That
they put on 2017.
In 2017, your SmackDown champion is Randy Orton.
Randy fucking Orton. But
and your Raw champion is Brock Lesnar.
In 2017.
What OVW horseshit is this?
The theatrics in the we get a projection.
How mad would you have been if you'd paid the money, like the however many $100 it is,
to go to the show
for a front row seat, and you couldn't see any of this shit? And it's like, why has everything gone dark? This stupid
projection of maggots in the ring on the ring
and then
on canvas,
bugs, Wouldn't it have made more sense at the end if Orton had somehow managed to project vipers? That would have made more sense.
I wasn't as mad about the projecting stuff as a lot of other people were fuming at it. I would have been okay with it had it been during the build.
Yeah.
Like, during maybe 3 weeks in, the maggots during an Orton match, 2 weeks in, the cockroaches during an Orton match. But then the go-home show, it happens during a Bray match, Vipers.
Yeah.
And,
something.
And then at Mania, we have the actual physical confrontation without the theatrics.
Yeah, and I think, by the end of the day, like, Orton is now your champ. In 2017.
Let's move past this match because it'll piss us
off.
Universal Championship, Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar. It went the exact length it needed to not further expose Goldberg. I can say something positive about the match.
I will point out, though.
And Brock Lesnar doing a leapfrog.
Yeah. However, this was a short match. What was it, like
4 minutes, 23 seconds?
Lesnar was blown up. We've made the Brock Lesnar purple-headed monster joke before. He was blown up. This is a guy...
I expected Goldberg to be blown up, but...
Goldberg was actually better. Was
yeah.
This exposed both of them.
Both of them, yeah.
And I'm still pissed off at Lesnar for... refusing to do anything. I mean,
last year's WrestleMania with Dean Ambrose.
Well, yeah, he made.
Oh yeah,
he basically came in and just looked like a lazy punk, and they put the belt on him for no good reason. He's not going to do anything interesting with it.
It's going to be more champion not being on the show, so we can't tell any
storylines.
The
first time around, but the second time around, it's just like, why are you doing this?
You can't have a champion that's not around that you can't do any sort of storylines. At least, if you're going to do that, at least when he's there, record vignettes and promos for the next couple of weeks so he's not completely absent.
I didn't care. I didn't care.
Yeah, oh, this match, I cared none. None. This belt means nothing to me now. Yeah.
And then we get on to the SmackDown. Honestly, a lot of people are going to go, why don't you talk about more about that match? Didn't deserve it. Did not deserve it. This was the shortest match of the night. It was the dumbest match of the night.
Match about money and not about trying to treat it like a legit sport.
It was a match about trying to undo what they did when they left in there. And I know there's kind of this effort now to go, oh, well, you know, when they had their lousy match 12 years ago, that you can't blame them. They were out the door. And it actually wasn't that bad. And you know, the crowd shat on it. No. It was a bad match.
It was a horrible
match. It was two guys pushing each other around for 10 minutes, and then a stupid finish that didn't get either man over.
Yeah.
Fuck both these guys. Yeah. The
women's match.
The horrible
that Becky Lynch, God bless her, she's the one that really pushed to get this match put onto the main show and not as the pre-show. And because of her doing that, the match got cut by at least half.
Yeah.
It was just spot after spot after spot after freaking spot.
Yeah. This should have been, for my money, this should have been a... I would say, 10 minutes longer. And it should have been a fatal four-way. Alexa, Becky, Naomi... Mickey James.
Yeah, get Carmella the fuck out of
and
there.
And Natalya was not... They weren't going to put the belt on Natalya, so she shouldn't be there. So you need to give somebody... Like, should have been...
I guess they didn't want another fatal four-way, but...
And I would have put the belt on Mickey. I would have given Mickey a cheap win and put the belt on her and then have Naomi say, I could have beaten you. This is unfair.
Well, I think they wanted to give Naomi the moment in her hometown. Honestly, she shouldn't have won the belt. Her being in that match caused the injury in the first place. Had she not won or been in the title match until now and she wins it, that would have been biggest Mania moment of any of the non-main eventers of the night. But it was a decent match. Could have been way better with less people and maybe 5 to 10 extra minutes.
Yeah.
And here we go for main event. Roman Reigns versus The Undertaker.
This
match, I'll say this. Roman Reigns is not a bad ring worker.
No.
He is the furthest thing from a bad ring worker. And there were a couple of moments where he had to carry The Undertaker because of age or pain or whatever. He tried his best. Given nearly 300 pounds of having to lift in during certain spots.
Which has been a constant problem of mine with Roman Reigns, that they've always tried to make him be, you know, a strong
Superman,
big guy.
Yeah.
He's not that strong.
Exactly.
He is strong. I'm not saying Roman Reigns
these
is
type
weak.
Of
I'm
matches not, expose him.
He is not strong. The fact that his Shield finisher was an assisted powerbomb always undercut him a little bit.
Agreed.
They always made him look like he's, yeah, I mean, he's not that much substantially bigger than Seth. So that always looked a bit weird.
The spear, I'm okay with. Anyone that has a college football or pro football background, spear is fine. I'm fine with it.
But
some of his other moves and...
I mean, he's a high-impact guy. He's still lacking some fundamentals. He's still lacking some
promo skills.
His promo skills are... People go, oh, it's okay when he's let off the hook. And he's like, yeah, but even then, it's like... But this was... Nothing about this stood out.
This match.
And the negatives were so...
But so honestly, big. I think and it's I more like, on Taker. I think he should have retired 2-3 years ago.
I think they kept him going and said, look, you know, we put you... The thing is, they have such long-term plans. It's the problem with long-term booking for WrestleMania and setting stuff a year in advance. I think the things... First of all, it blew up in their faces because it denied... Big Show, his match with Shaq, which they're like, no, Shaq will be there. No, he's not. The other thing they'd spent all year building that we knew about for a year.
Weren't we supposed to get Cena versus Undertaker originally?
Cena versus Undertaker's original
bit. And they changed their mind because Nikki Bella wanted to retire.
Yeah. And then it was Braun Strowman, and they clearly went, Braun is too green to be in the ring with Taker, and something will go wrong. He'll do, you know, he'll botch that, forward choke slam, and it'll be, you know, something will go wrong, and we'll end up killing Taker, and this is a bad idea.
He'll be a really dead man.
Reigns does not make anybody he's in the ring with look better than they are. He makes them look as good as they are. They can make him look better. This was
for this guy to be the top.
But they spent so long where they were like, well, you know, we've got to keep the streak going.
We're what 1,200 days into the Roman Reigns experiment.
We got Taker had his Lesnar angle, and you had everything with that, and they knew they wanted to do that, and you know, you'd have these long term plans, and clearly, you know, they wanted him to at some point put Reigns over. I think the plan was for him to do next year. I think that's part of it. I think they also hot-shotted it because I think Taker went, I can't do two more WrestleManias because of what is expected from me. The build-up to this was abysmal. I think this was the worst build-up match. It's like, literally, Taker goes, I'm on SmackDown. Oh, I'm going to come over to Raw and say, this is my yard. No, it's my yard. You guys are idiots. I didn't care about this match coming in. I knew that Reigns was going to be put over because they're not going to put... Taker over at this point because there's no upside. Well, then again, what's the upside of putting, you know, Goldberg over at Fastlane? What was the upside then?
The overall,
Taker
can't
look beaten.
Yeah, he looked.
And this wasn't even like times where he came in and looked beaten up, and you go, well, at least he's, you know,
putting
he's
up a good fight.
There were moments where I legitimately, when you got two guys who have main evented this many pay per views. And
this many WrestleManias.
Top level.
This is Roman Reigns' third WrestleMania main event.
And there were moments where I'm like, I don't know what you're trying to do there. There was a moment where I'm like, is Taker trying to reverse an attempted
tombstone
into a Gogo Plata?
Roman couldn't lift him. Taker couldn't push off any stronger with his legs, given his hip situation.
This was... it was a mess. To quote Jim Ross, the only upside of this, Jim Ross, the only person in wrestling who could have made this seem like a legitimate match. So thank God he was
there. And he exposed how horrible the rest of the commentary is on the show. The moment Ross came out, he's giving stats and background on these guys. Like,
he knows. He's so good that they're bringing him back to occasionally do stuff, and he's still allowed to do his Fight TV stuff, and he's still doing New Japan.
With Mauro Ranallo gone, thank God Jim Ross was there to help.
Yeah,
the commentary was pretty abysmal during most of the show.
Yeah, this was...
But as far as Roman Reigns, the next night on Raw, the
the FU Roman chant and all the... I think fans are still in CM Punk Daniel Bryan mode, where if we are vociferous enough that we'll get management to change. It's not working that way anyway.
I posted this, and I'm 100% in agreement.
Yes, I posted this on Facebook. This was the night after Raw. If you don't like Roman Reigns and want your displeasure known, be smart about it. WWE is a business, an ever-evolving business with out-of-touch management at the top, which is abundantly obvious. Booing him, being cute, chanting stuff like CM Punk will not work anymore. Cena got booed. Guess what? Was still the top draw of the company. If you want them to stop this relentless push of Roman Reigns, which we are probably 1,200 days into the Roman Reigns experiment since Royal Rumble 2014, these are the three things you need to do. One, if you and your friends or family buy WWE merchandise, stop buying him his stuff. Convince them to stop buying his stuff. Two, if you watch on TV, Monday Night Raw, pay-per-views, whatever, change the channel during his promos, vignettes, matches. Just change it. Change the fucking channel. Three, if you are at a live event, don't cheer him. Don't boo him. Don't chant anything cute. Don't say anything. Is it not true that in the world of professional wrestling, audience silence is career death and the only thing that will force management to make a change?
Yep. Yep. Absolutely 100% true.
If you don't like him...
Don't hate watching me anymore. Give up. Just turn the channel, wait for something else.
Send the message.
That'll kill his... I mean, and I feel sorry for the guy... At so many levels, but...
Something has to change.
You would probably be better if you...
They won't turn him heel. If they would have done so by now. This is like the situation with Vince Russo at TNA.
Yeah.
Like, they would have fired him by now.
He is getting go-away heat.
X-Pac heat! He is on the verge of getting X-Pac heat!
Yeah, it's remarkable. And they seem to go, well, they want that as a badge of honor.
Because Cena got it. That means everyone who gets it is our top guy.
The thing is, Cena could handle go-away heat.
Yes.
Because he comes out.
He turns it around back on the audience.
This is the thing. They've tried to make Reigns.
Cena was a great mic worker from OVW. From day one,
yeah.
He could own the microphone. Reigns, Cena got his push because of his look, but he could back it up on the mic.
Yeah.
Reigns got his push because of his look and his family connections, but he can't own the microphone.
No. See, they've reached a point where it's now our own fault that we are subjected. We're going to get to year five of Roman Reigns, and the fact that they are building up
Reigns, next year's WrestleMania, Reigns versus Lesnar.
But anyway, the one thing that I think they got right about this was how they handled Taker's retirement. Silently. Beautifully.
Beautifully.
Just that moment where you just go, the dead man is gone. He knows that, you know, he lost the yard. This is the old dog going away into the desert.
Many people in the crowd were crying during that moment. It was so beautifully.
This was everything that his loss to, the end of the streak wasn't.
Exactly.
Because the end of the streak was just, what happened? And it's funny, number of people who didn't realize, who thought that the count was wrong, that something had gone wrong. Now you've just got, like, it's the old gunslinger putting his guns down. And, you know, the fact that they left them in the ring while everybody left, they didn't have somebody come out and pick up his coat and pick up the
hammer. No, the people, are allegedly, the ring crew, the sound people, everyone, they didn't want to touch it. They just left his stuff in the ring, yeah. Which was a sign of respect.
Apparently, the last people took 35 minutes to get out of the arena. They were still there. They still left everything there.
I respect the hell out of Taker and everything he's done for the business.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean...
It was a fitting send-off. I didn't like who it was against, but Taker wanted to pass the torch. That was his decision, so I respect that. Yeah. I respect everything man has been through and has done for this business.
Well, you know, all in all, I think this was a... This was one of the better recent WrestleManias.
It didn't suck. It didn't suck it didn't by suck. A long it shot. The build, I think, hurt
yeah.
a few of
this
the
was,
matches.
This was better if you hadn't watched.
Yeah, if you went like in that. Blind, I was reading reports by a lot of sportscasters that will only watch Mania, and a lot of them that kind of bashed last year's and the years before, they all gave it like glowing reviews.
Yeah, and I think that's because they
didn't
the
see.
Show is so
god!
But yeah, I mean, we got a quick. We talked about there were two other shows going on. I think the big
all
stars
over town.
Coming out of it seem to have been Sami Callihan, who is on a tear. I think had 12 matches.
Jeez!
And they were all great. They were he comes out and he does smart pick up out the body wrestling better than anybody else. But he's also strong enough to throw big guys around, but not to make it look like I'm so strong. It's like, I'm going to do this because I'm tough as hell and probably a bit crazy. And Michael Elgin, who just came out and apparently just looked like a monster, who is one of the few guys with that amount of muscle mass that doesn't blow up.
Yeah.
He doesn't gas.
He's shocking.
His cardio is obscene.
His ROH in New Japan work was proof point that this big guys don't always blow up. This guy has some of the best cardio of any big man in the business.
I've watched him. I'm just like, I mean, him and Brian Cage, I think, are the two best, muscle mass guys out there, and neither of them blows up. And I'm not sure how they do it. I think it's just there.
It was a shame how Lucha Underground did not give him.
I think it's like the Rock. I think it's just these people are just, you can't argue with genetics sometimes.
Right.
They are the count. I mean, honestly, put him in there and just make Brock look as bad as he is. I do not need to see Purple-Headed Monster one more. He was purple. HD is doing that man no favors. No,
not at all.
Ring of Honor Supercard. The amazing Young Bucks.
The Bucks of Youth.
The Bucks of Youth versus the Hardys, who can come out and do two barnstorming matches on successive nights, which, considering the no spring chicken, amazing.
Two ladder matches in 24 hours, and they're, 40?
Yeah. Just absurd. And we were talking about this before we came on air. Really fascinating that they did not put Dalton Castle over Chris Daniels.
Shocking.
I was shocked by that because... and my theory is that this proves that they're not selling to WWE, because I think if they were selling, I think
Castle would have been the face of the company.
Yeah. Same as when Paul Heyman put the belt on Rhino before they sold ECW. I think he would have before ECW went under, rather, because the sell was a little bit later. But I think this was the same situation. I think it reversed that. You would have put Dalton over as, he's the final Ring of Honor champion. So I think this is going to continue for a while. There's rumors. There's been the rumors that Sinclair Broadcasting is going to sell it. I think they're always going to be entertaining bits on that.
Yeah, Sinclair doesn't seem to be in the business of wrestling for the long term.
Yeah. If what happens is that, they break up the company and Flow Sports gets the actual performing side and the contracts... And Ring of Honor,
I wouldn't be mind with,
the tape archive goes
that.
Over to WWE so that they can do. I mean, they're still going to have the problem there.
The tape library.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people said, well, you're going to have the best matches from Samoa Joe and Dean Ambrose and all this, and Kevin Owens. And you still don't have PWG, which, Owens has always said, Owens and Zayn have always said. That was their best work, was pro wrestling Gorilla. So you're still going to have a limitation. But if that was what was going to happen, I could live with that.
It's just the less promotions out there, the worse the business is.
Oh, yes. But the thing is, we're now, as was proven this weekend, you're kind of getting the territories back.
Yeah.
I think, a lot of territories went to... Orlando and put matches on. I mean, in Austin, we've got three promotions now, and the relationships between at least two of the three are pretty good. Inspire and Wrestle Circus. And Wrestle Circus went over and did a joint show with Wrestling Revolver.
Oh,
And it had very good reviews from the weekend.
I have to check that out.
You know, Evolve was there, Ring of Honor was, you know, was there, everybody was there. So I think, you know, people were going, well, WWE's owning the industry. I think you've got an increasing number of people who go, they're owning a level of the industry and an aspect of the industry, but people still want to go and see 600, 800 person shows. The gates are good enough now that somebody like, you know, Joey Ryan, you know, Sami Callihan, as I said,
some people,
Rachel Ellering,
want to see the sport version of it and not the sports entertainment version.
Or they want to go and see a match where, like, this is the only time you've got your local guys who you're going to see consistently, but who are also doing national stuff. So, I mean, you know, to go back to the Inspire Pro, last Inspire Pro event,
exactly.
We had the main event was Sami Callihan versus Keith Lee. Well, Keith Lee has been Inspire's Pure Prestige champion for 2 years now, and he feels like an Inspire Pro guy, even though he's on Ring of Honor, and he's just signed a deal with Evolve. But you got him up against Sami Callihan, who, former WWE, but doing better on the indies, and obviously having a great time on the indies. You got the Young Bucks, who've got, you know, they got their Ring of Honor contracts, and they got the New Japan contracts, but they're still doing indie dates. The Hardys were making phenomenal bank off this, which makes me think that whatever they gave the Hardys, I don't want to know what that contract looks like, because I will just be sad and jealous.
Because there's no way the Hardys would have given up all that money, merch money from the indies to go back, unless it was a borderline Brock Lesnar level contract.
This has to have been
Brock Goldberg money.
This has to be a 7-figure contract. Possibly. To be.
They were making in the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
Between their TNA money, all the indie dates that they had, the merch money was. Weren't they outselling everyone else on the indies? Like, by leaps and bounds?
No, they were still just behind the Young Bucks.
Oh, okay.
Young Bucks have consistently been the number one merch sellers for 2-3 years now.
Cool heels, man. Cool heels will, since NWO. Heels will always sell a metric fuck ton of merchandise.
And they've got the belts, and you know, they can, and as they said, they can do what they do on their terms, and I think that's very appealing. We're in a different situation on the indies than we were 10 years ago, where it's very hard to become, you know, as big a name as you can be. Anyway, we have taken a huge amount of your time, and we really appreciate you hanging around for all of this.
Thank you for this super show.
Still short of the WrestleMania.
Oh, not like a Raw super show.
Oh, three freaking hours. No. But thank you so much, as always, for tuning in. We will be back in the very near future with more of our nonsense ramblings.
Here on your plugs in?
Yep. You can find me all over oneofus.net. But also you can find me at AustinChronicle.com,